We'll start off tonight from 1969 with a bit of Jethro Tull. Did I see you tapping a deck shoe there, Count Arthur?
Oh, yes, I quite like that one, Jen, go away.
Right, OK, that's Jethro Tull and Living in the Past from 1969. Right, now then, Count Arthur, it's wonderful to have you back because, obviously, a lot of people are always saying to me, you know, when are you going to get a proper job? Because I only do a radio show. I only work part-time for it. But since I had you on, of course, they all know I've got credentials now.
And your life has changed.
Yes, it has. Yes. You know, everybody's just so impressed that you're on. Louise in Cheltenham's been on. She says, no more Count Arthur Strong. Last time I nearly wet myself with mirth. I'm listening in bed and don't want another near accident.
Oh, dear me. I hope she lives by herself.
Yes, all right then. Now, it's very appropriate that you are here. Right, and we're delighted you made a return, because I see that the exhibits and artifacts from the tomb of Tutankhamun are on their way back. I mean, it's a long time since they won at the British Museum in the early 1970s, I believe.
That's right, yes.
But there's a new exhibition, Tutankhamun and the Golden Age of the Pharaohs, which is touring the United States before arriving at the Millennium Dome sometime in 2007. Apparently, it's presently at Bonn in Germany. And,
yes.
And of course, you have got a huge knowledge of all things Egyptian, haven't you?
Oh, I have, Mark, and I tell you, it was absolutely marvellous news when I picked up one of the Sunday papers yesterday, and so I won't say which one, because I have many things, Mark, but I'm certainly not the mouthpiece for one of Robert Murdoch's organs.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful to pick up the Sunday Times and see that... Oh, I won't do that. To cut that out, they can cut that out, can't they, these days? Marvellous news to see that the King Tutankhamun, that's how you remember him, Mark,
right,
Paul Daniels way, Tutankhamun, is coming to the dome. It's going to be 30-odd years since it was last there. And as you know, and probably everyone listening, Egypt has a very special place in my heart for me. I've tirelessly travelled the width and breadth of the countryside, lecturing on a wide variety of subjects and topics, and Egypt is one of them. It's
right.
My favourite topic, and I do a marvellous lecture talk on that. And I do think, in some small way, that I am partly responsible for this exhibition coming over here. And I've no doubt they'll be asking me to turn up at the Dome and do one of my lecture talks. I just hope there's no elephants on the flying surface, because that's what they were doing there, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yes.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah, but it's not just a kind of casual interest. I mean, you are president of a society, is it?
That's right, yes. And, you know, because from time to time I have to research up on ancient Egypt for my valuable work I do, I have been given complete access to the archive of the British Egyptological Society,
yeah.
Doncaster branch, of which you rightly say I am honorary president of. And I don't mention that to inflate myself up in front of you, Mark. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, for goodness sake, who isn't the honorary vice president or something or other these days?
Yes.
Although I am. Yeah. In my case, it's the Doncaster branch of the British Egyptological Society. How many more times, Mark? So that's good news, isn't it?
It is very good news, yeah. So, I mean, are you going to be able to fill us in? I mean, as obviously we're all agog at this exhibition coming, but it's a long time to wait, isn't it, 2007? This evening, have you got anything that would kind of quench our Egyptological thirst?
Well, do you know, I've thought ahead today, and what I've done is I've delved into that said archive of the British Egyptological Society, and I brought with me the Daily Journal of Lord Carnarvon.
Right.
Who, as we all know, discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun, Mark. That's how you remember it, Mark Tutankhamun. What I want to do for you this evening is read out one or two entries at random, just to see if we can get a bit of an insight into the workings of a fine mind of someone who, after all, was the leading ever of all the British Egyptologists, Lord Carnarvon.
Right, OK. Well, that would be great, I think. That would whet our appetites for the exhibition coming even more. And as if that's not enough, I believe you've got another book that you can quote from. Aren't you working on a book at the moment?
That's probably right. I'm working on my big book of big facts to accompany my radio series I'm potentially doing, potentially.
Right. Yes. Okay, so we can have some facts as well.
Oh, yes, covers everything in
there, Mike. Have you got one fact that you could give us at this point?
I say I've covered everything. Pop music, because this is, you do pop music on this show, don't
you? Occasionally, yes.
For instance, let's have a look. Cliff Richards. Right, did you know Cliff Richards was not born in America? No. He was really born at Russia. And really, his name is Peter... Peter Panapop. This is true because it's verified by I got an old copy of the Yorkshire Post that I was reading in the lavatory. Bathroom. library. Goodness sake. And it's in there, so it can be verified. And that is an interesting fact from my big book of big facts.
That's a cracker start us off. And if any... Of course, Count Arthur Strong has been in showbiz, well, since... What? 1920.
The year.
And so if there are any questions, because I know a lot of people are just thrilled to hear you on the
yes.
And if anybody has any questions or things, you know, about Arthur's illustrious past, then come through the usual channels of inquiry, and I will put them to the great man himself. Show business legend of music hall, film and literature, and president of the British Egyptologist Society.
That's right.
Count Arthur Strong is with us tonight. Also, compiling his big book of big facts.
Big book of big facts, yes.
Do you have an Iggy Pop fact?
I think I have, yes. Hang on a second. Let's have a look. Oh, no. No, it's Tom Jones. But is he the same as Iggy Pop?
Similar, isn't it?
Well, similar. That's the Tom Jones one. Yeah. Right, Tom Jones. Do you know how he got his start? Tom the Jones... to use a big name, proper name for him, was born in one of the valleys they have in Welsh Wales, the son of a coal man. And the family was so poor, they used to eat some of the coal he picked, which is good for the teeth, apparently.
Right.
You never see a Welshman with bad teeth, do you? Think about that before you answer. You never do. You never do it, and I'm telling you now.
Okay.
Right. Well, he used to wash the coal dust off in a tin bath in the green grass of the garden and would sing. The neighbours bought tickets. The concerts became so popular, he had to get a bigger bath. No. Then he moved to England and made a record. Yeah. And the rest is history.
Oh. It's fascinating stuff.
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones, there you go. It sketches in all the background nicely, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have any information about birds or bird feeders?
Bird feeders.
I bought a new bird feeder today. Yeah. I found myself in the middle of the day, because I only work part-time now, myself in the middle of the day at a garden centre with sort of, you know, people in matching fleeces and everything, weighing up the relative merits of one bird feeder against another. That's the kind of life I lead now.
Have you put the bird feeder up yet?
I have, yeah.
Oh, good.
I had that much time on my hands. I not only went... Because I could have spread that over 2 days, couldn't I? Yeah. I could have gone and bought it today and put it up tomorrow.
It's a cheap way of buying nuts, that. And I'm talking about if you have a party or something like that. It's a cheap way of buying nuts.
Good idea.
Yeah, because you go get them for a quid, can't you, the bird feeders?
That's a good idea.
I always buy bird feeder nuts for when I have a few people around.
Well, brilliant. All right, then. Talking of entertaining, we've interested you tonight in our new, kind of the drink du maison, peppermint tea.
Oh, I'll tell you something. I didn't know we were allowed to drink it here. But the thing is, I like mints and I like tea. It's the perfect time-saving drink for me, is that?
There you go, then. Brilliant. Right. Count Arthur, can you say hello to my wife, Ruth, and children Tilly, Phoebe and Theo? That's from Dermot.
Hello, Ruth. Tilly, children, Phoebe and Theo.
That's it. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Also, Bruce Davies in Sheffield says, can you play a record for my brother Chris from Abingdon in Oxford, who's 38 today? Well, do you think he would like that one, or should we give him the next one?
Oh, give him the next one. Come on.
And Indy's been on, said, the Australian radio is rubbish. Thank goodness for the internet. Listening to us in Australia, Count Arthur.
I shouldn't believe it. Can they do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Hello, Australia.
Right, yeah. I mean, did you ever perform in Australia?
Oh, I must have. I've been overseas on cruise boats and everything. We must have touched down in Australia.
Must have done. Right, okay then.
Oh, yes.
What else have we got on here? And can you ask Count Arthur, is it right? Yours, I'll be damned, of Little Wapworth Nursing Home, with matron's permission.
It is right, yes.
Right, okay. We'll be back with Count Arthur after Embrace, and then we'll be delving into the mysterious world of Egypt...
Egyptology.
Egyptology, right, okay. Those are Embrace and Looking As You Are, which comes out on Valentine's Day. I'll play that for Lily Carver, who says, "Dear Mark," it's on a Valentine's theme. "Dear Mark, will you very kindly ask Count Arthur if he can recall the wonderful night we spent together? Oh, many years ago now. I was on my first excursion to Blackpool, and he was just at the start of his meteoric rise, if you get my drift. We were like ships passing. I've never forgotten it. Has he, I wonder, found a love to equal those tender teenage moments we shared?"
What's her name?
Count Arthur Strong is with us tonight, showbiz legend, and I see you, usually, I've only ever seen you in full evening dress.
Oh, well, you know, I'm in my radio casuals tonight. It'll make you feel a bit more comfortable.
Right, okay. You know. So what would that be? Is that a tweed suit, a Harris, or...?
It's a Harris tweed, yes.
Yeah, yes. Right then. With, you know, the trademark jaunty trilby, of course.
Oh, yes, I do like a hat, a nice hat.
Is that suedette, or...?
I think believe it is, yes, it's
suede. Suede, and red dicky bow.
Oh, that's right, yes, bit of colour.
Right, and beige slip-on deck shoes.
Oh, yes, I'll tell you something, they're very comfortable, these deck shoes. £4.
£4?
That's for the two of them, not each.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, you know, so some things in the modern world are worth having.
They are. Oh, well, yes, I'll certainly be buying another pair of these when these wear out.
Right, okay. But we're sort of looking forward to Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun, that's how you remember them,
Mark. Tutankhamun coming to the Millennium Dome in 2007. Because, of course, the artifacts haven't been seen in this country since 1972.
Oh, that's right, yes.
I went to that.
Yes, I think I did.
Right, yeah. You've got the Diaries of Lord Caernarfon. Now, explain to us again who Lord Caernarfon was.
Well, Lord Caernarfon was one of the greatest of all the British Egyptologists, right, and was responsible for discovering the tomb of Tutankhamun. Tutankhamun. yes, that's how you remember them, Mark. And as I was saying earlier, I dipped and delved into those archives and brought with me his daily journal.
Well, that's amazing, because he was there with Howard Carter,
that's
wasn't
right.
He was there. He sort of went down to the steps, and wasn't Caernarfon supposed to be one of the first people to fall to the curse of Tutankhamun?
That's absolutely right, Mark. You hit the nail on the head there. Mm. He got bit by a mosquito, didn't
That's
he, there?
Right, yeah.
That's right, and it turned antiseptic.
Yeah.
And as he was laying there, he said, "Oh, look, a bird is scratching my face."
Which
delirious.
Which ties in to the bird feeder we were talking about before.
We brought that round beautifully, didn't we? That's the craft of radio.
Right, yes indeed. All right, so how did you come to get these diaries?
Well, I'm allowed.
Oh,
I've got my old key and everything.
Right, to the archive.
The archive of the British Egyptological Society.
Yes, right.
And honorary vice president of... Yeah. In the face. How many times have I had to say that tonight to me?
Right, OK then. So, shall we have a little flavour of
OK,
those diaries,
well, I've just flicked through the book, and we'll do one at random, just to get a bit of an insight into the fine mind of the great... Egyptologist, he was, Lord Caernarfon.
So it's about 1922, this?
It's dated and everything. So,
fine, okay.
October 2nd, 1922, Sunday, Cairo. "God, it's hot. All this sun and sand puts me in mind of Bridlington. Went shopping today in the bazaar. Bought another carpet, and the wife got herself a yashmak. It suits her. These past 2 weeks have simply flown by. I'm definitely coming for longer if I come again. Falafels for dinner tonight. Hoorah!" Oh, no, sorry, Mark, that's my mistake, that. It's put hoorah, I don't think.
Oh.
So, not a fan of the falafel then, Lord Caernarfon. P.S. On the minus side, the lavatories are disgusting. A real hit-and-miss affair. And that's signed quite simply, Lord and Lady Caernarfon.
Right, wow.
Isn't that a wonderful insight?
It's quite an insight, yes. That, isn't it? Okay. I mean, if that doesn't whet the appetite for this exhibition coming, I don't know what will, Count Arthur.
Yes.
Right, okay. So we got more Egyptological stuff and also more facts from his big book from Count Arthur Strong a bit later on.
The crucial three, music of quality and distinction.
All right, then. We've got Durham Dave the Seventh on the line. Hello, Durham Dave the Seventh.
Hello, Mark.
I feel sort of honoured. We've got Durham Dave the Seventh, which sounds like a sort of faintly aristocratic title, and the same same night as Count Arthur Strong. So,
I'm honoured, yes.
Well, there you go. It's a good mix. And what do you get up to in Durham, Dave?
What do I get up to? I work at the university for an outfit called the Chem Centre that produces tests for schools.
Right, okay then. Have you got Count Arthur Strong is here, and he's compiling his, another man of academia, obviously. Combining his big book of big facts. Have you got anything about Durham or testing in schools or anything like that?
Oh, goodness. Oh, I suppose Durham is famous because it's got a big ditch.
A big ditch?
Yeah, it's really the River Weir, and it goes round the cathedral and the castle. But if it weren't going round that promontory, there wouldn't be a good place to have built the cathedral and the castle.
Well, that's very interesting.
I might pop that in. How big is it, the feet and inches?
can you nip out and measure it tomorrow and send the statistics through to Count Arthur?
I tell you what, it's not very deep. There are weirs on the weir, and that's the only reason the river's got any much depth at that point at all. It's got enough depth for a sort of floating cruiser, pleasure cruiser. And they say that if the boat should stop for any reason, you could always walk to the shore.
Right, OK.
Definitely having that, Mark.
I tell you what, Count Arthur.
Definitely.
I mean, I think Durham Dave may have a future as doing public speaking like yourself, don't you?
He's very good. Yes, he's very good. Full of interesting facts.
Have you got any interesting facts you could give him, Count Arthur? Can you give Durham Dave an interesting fact from your book about anything pertaining to ditches, cathedrals or universities?
Yes, Elvis Presley. It's a known fact that he picked all his own wallpaper for Graceland's. And once he smashed the television up to bits. Don't worry, though, because he had quite a few. So he was still able to see all his favourite programmes.
Great.
Yeah. Right, OK, then. Janice Long is here, I think.
Hello. Not only me. Recognise this voice?
Hey, Mark.
it sounds very like... Give me it again.
What?
I'm not getting anything in my headphones.
Oh, right.
Steve Lamacq.
It's easy.
Steve Lamacq.
This is going to be so good and so professional.
Can you hear him now? Go on one ear with me. So Steve's just walked in because he's been at the NME thing at the Academy.
Oh, right. Is this the Killers tour?
It is. It's the Killers headlining and the Kaiser Chiefs, an amazing set from the Futureheads tonight, and Block Party as well.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. I mean, we were talking about bird feeders earlier on, and Count Arthur Strong, who's my guest this evening, was saying that, you know, it's a very cheap way, if you buy a bird feeder, you know, because they're only a couple of quid, it's a cheap way of providing nuts for a party, which is there's so many links on tonight's programme, because Steve Lamacq... I don't know whether it's still the case, Steve. You used to live entirely on dry roasted nuts, didn't you?
Yeah, salted and dry roasted. I like it. I like to vary my diet now.
Do you?
Yeah.
As you're appearing more on Radio 2, are you sort of going through a cashew phase? Or
I am.
Are you?
Yes, I'm doing cashews at the moment. It's part of my diet.
We did manage to because you know what it's like, Mark. When you go on tour, you see bands who are on tour, and they have elaborate riders these days. Yeah. And when the Futureheads went on stage, we did creep into their dressing room. And we did manage to liberate some of the grapes.
You see? Rock and roll lifestyle, it never leaves you, does it? I've been out today buying bird feeders. There's you, swanning around with a bunch of grapes in Birmingham. It's just wild. Count Arthur Strong is here. Do you have a favourite nut, Count Arthur?
What was it called? The little shells, the green ones.
Pistachios.
Oh, dare you. Wash your mouth out, Dennis. Goodness sake, are you drunk?
Can you buy them peeled?
Can you?
Unshelled.
Oh, give me the telephone number.
No, I don't know if you can, because they're a pain in the backside, aren't they, to get a handful.
There's a gag in there.
There's
a gag in there. Anyway, so what's on your show today? Are you interviewing Steve Lamacq?
No, Steve's doing his thing next door, but he's just come in, you see, back from the Academy. So I said, oh, quick, you must say hello to Mark.
Right, yes, absolutely.
Bell and Sebastian doing the high five.
Okay.
And loads of other stuff, as you know, so I'll be there 3 minutes after midnight.
All right, Janice.
All right, take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Janice Long. I always have to repeat that, which is totally unnecessary to Count Arthur. Right, everybody knows what she's doing, and I just can't get out of the habit.
What is she doing?
And that comes out on February the 21st. Count Arthur Strong, she's from the Lower East Side of New York. Do you have any American facts in your big book of facts?
American facts. There must be some facts about America.
But Count Arthur Strong is with us tonight, and we're doing, many, many things. We're enjoying peppermint tea. Rich and Lou in Leeds say we're enjoying peppermint tea right now. I think there's a kind of...
Oh, snap, Rich and Lou in Leeds.
Yeah, right. They say lemon and ginger tea is good, but Pepsi's king.
Oh, no, it's good in Pepsi, but lemon and ginger sounds... that sounds... I couldn't drink that. No. I've heard myself say it. I couldn't drink that.
No, no, right. Me on the M6 says, can you ask Count Arthur what's his theory on the origin of the species? But that's probably a whole other show, isn't it, really? I'm sure you could do an interview.
Well, no, I mean, I could do a lecture talk on Charles Dunson, the origin of the species, right now, for once. Right. Darwin, Charles Darwin, I mean, not Dunson.
Yeah. Could you ask the Count to wish our pal Andrew many happy returns for the 26th? The Count is his guru, say Jan and Mark.
Oh, many, many happy returns, Andrew. Thanks so much, Jan and Mark.
Right, I suppose that's the problem for you, isn't it? It's hard to relax because people hang on your every word, and, you know, a word out of place, you could shatter all their dreams and illusions.
Well, of course, one has to be careful, Mark. One has to be very careful in this profession, but I don't let it worry me. I've never suffered from stress. Oh, no.
No, that's good, right. Andy from Hove says, could the Count explain, with his knowledge of Egypt, how one should mount a camel?
What was I saying in that film? What do the big get the big stick, but don't hit it. Just stand in front of it with a big stick and say jelly, and they'll get down on their knees. Oh no, that's an elephant, isn't it? That was pulling logs. I don't know. How do I know? Goodness sake.
Right. Okay. Count Arthur Strong is here tonight, of course, showbiz legend from music hall, films, everything, and of course his memoirs. Through it all, I've always laughed, which that's we were right. talking about last time.
£7.99.
Right, okay then. It's like you've done a talking book, isn't it, on a CD as well?
Yeah, well, we've done a radio version of it. Potential radio series there, you know. Yeah. If only someone would wake up at, what's the other radio station? Oh, we're not bothering with four anyway, we're sticking with two, we are. Yeah. My people.
Yeah.
In fact, I might actually be taking over from Ken Brooks when he's... Because off for a fortnight in April, he's going to the Isle of Man. And my people are talking to his people, and I might actually be on there doing that.
Right. Yeah. Well, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that'll be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
But tonight, we're talking about all things that
Egyptology. Oh, she got me going now. I was doing it when I got here.
Right.
Thank you, Mark.
Right. you are an honorary vice president of the British...
Egyptology. What is it? You sound as bad as you now. Vice President of the British Egyptological Society, clever Dick.
Thank you. Yes. Right, okay. Doncaster brand.
Yes, Doncaster brand.
Right, and you've got access to the archive, and we've got Lord Carnarvon's diaries.
That's right, yes.
Right, from when he discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun.
Yes. Do you want me to do another one for you?
I think, definitely, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Righto. This one is dated September 30th, 1922, River Nile, Egypt. 11:30 p.m. Oh, someone's been up late, haven't they? oh, it's been a long day today. I'd be glad to get off this felucca. It's all right going on a boat trip if you can pick the other passengers, but some of this lot behave like pigs. They had a run-in buffet, and some of the greedy so-and-sos had their plates piled up so high with the falafels they were falling off as they walked back, causing havoc on the dance floor. The captain had to make an announcement, so you can see how serious that was, Mark.
Yeah.
Then there was the belly dancer. They come up and they dance right in front of you, and you're supposed to tuck money in the knickers. I've never been so embarrassed. I had to give the money to Sheila to tuck in. Oh, well, it's all an experience, I suppose. Just yawned for the third time. Better turn in. She's already asleep, is Sheila, snoring like a lawnmower. Night-night. I'll tell you something, isn't that a wonderful insight into the workings of someone who was the finest of all the British escapologists, Lord Carnarvon, eh?
Absolutely. Just gives you some colour that you don't always get.
That's right, what I think.
Count Arthur Strong with the diaries of Lord...
As you're looking at me, Mark, I don't know what you want me to do. What should I do?
What's his name again? Lord Carnarvon. Right, Gary Phelps from Cardiff said, wonderful to hear Count Arthur Strong. When are you coming to Cardiff to do an illustrated talk, Count?
Ooh, well, I'm touring extensively in April, Gary. I think we've met, haven't we, Gary? Right. Gary Phelps. Name rings a bell. Little bloke, I think he is. Yeah. Anyway, we're touring extensively through April. I'm not sure whether we're getting down that far to Wales. But rest assured, I should be thinking of you.
Right, well, that'll probably do. You'll be back before then anyway, won't it?
Because
you've agreed to grace us with your presence once
more. Oh, yes, so I've decided to come back, yeah.
Very good. All right, do you have a, perhaps a parting fact that you could leave us with tonight?
Another fact, for goodness sake, I only brought three with me. Let's have a look. What's this one? Joe Brown, the guitar player, was the Jimi Hendrix of his day. And if, oh, that's not one of mine. That must be one of Terry's, that. I don't know if Joe Brown is for a start, and Jimi Hendrix, I never heard of him. So that's not going in. That's not going in the bookmark. That's what I can't. I've got to at least have heard of the paper. Yeah, that's my criteria.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Thanks very much to Count Arthur Strong for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with Simon Armitage.